Shalom Aleichem, dear friends. Here we are at the cusp of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, Chag Matan Toraseinu, as we prepare days away to be mekabel the Torah, be ava of Ratzon, with love and with joy. And I'd like to address a question that so many people have asked in shul from around town and throughout the world. How are we going to do it? How are we going to be mekabel Torah in our alone, in our homes, by ourselves? When we accepted the Torah 3,000 years ago, the pasuk says, "Vayichan Sham Yisrael keneged har," that Klal Yisrael sit at the foot of Har Sinai, and Klal Yisrael were waiting, anticipating Kabbalah Satorah. As Rashi says, "Ki ish echad b'leiv echad," we were together, unified, brothers and sisters alike, and all Klal Yisrael as a tzibur. And this year will be anything but that. Our Yom Tov of Shavuos will be in isolation, separated, quiet, divided. How are we going to celebrate Kabbalah Satorah? We're in shul, we hear the Aseres Nedivos together as a community. We stay up all night together, and by the end of the evening, we feel such a sense of achdus, of brotherhood, learning together as a tzibur throughout the evening. And of course, who could forget the second day of Yom Tov, our dairy kiddush and shul, where we get together, we smile, joyously talking, conversing, guests from out of town, and so many people coming together. And here we are, unable to do that this year. Let's talk about Shavuos, Tavshin Pei. How are we supposed to prepare ourselves? How should we focus? What do we think about? And how do we take advantage of the opportunity that stands before us this coming year, Shavuos? And to answer this question, it dawned upon me a comment of the Netziv, Reb Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in his classic work, A Megdavar, and Reb Shimshon Frohl Hirsch, both have a similar comment in the beginning of Parshas Truma that I would like to share with you. The beginning, of course, of Parshas Truma, as well as all of the Parshios of Truma, Tetzave, Kisisa, Vayakil, and Pekute, deal at great length with the Klei HaMishkan, the Binyan on the Mishkan. And the first of the Kalim to be articulated and described, the Tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, is to build the Aron. And the Psukim read that one of the first things that you're supposed to do along with building the Aron is Vasisa Badei Atzei Shitim. You should build staves. Staves were used to carry the Aron and carry the Klei HaMishkan from place to place and stop to stop throughout the Dor HaMidbar. Seemingly, the Badim, these staves, were used to transport each of the Klei HaMishkan, each of the vessels of the Mishkan, and that's all they served in terms of their purpose. But the Torah continues and tells us something specifically about the Aron. Ve'heveses HaBadim, you should place the Badim, these staves, al tzalos ha'aron, on the side of the Aron. And you will use it to carry the Aron, lases es ha'aron behem. That's what they were used for. B'tabos ha'aron yu'abadim lo yasuru mimenu. That these staves should be placed inside of the rings on the sides of the Aron Kodesh. Anybody who's seen the picture of the Aron Kodesh, however it's depicted, sees the two poles alongside of the Aron. Lo yasuru mimenu. They shall never be removed from the Aron. It's both a mitzvah, a positive commandment to place the staves inside the Aron, and it's a negative commandment, lo yasuru mimenu, to remove the staves. And both the Netzivs and Rishim Shul Frohl Hirsch question, wonder, and are perplexed. The staves are simply transporting material. Why then does the Torah tell us, lo yasuru mimenu, you're prohibited from removing the staves, and the staves stay with the Aron inside of the Mishkan, and they're never removed, they can't be removed. That the Gemara says that one who removes the staves receives lashes, malchus. Why? It's not true with the other Klei HaMishkan. The staves were taken from stop to stop, from masa to masa. But once they reached the Mishkan and it was erected, you took the staves away. What's unique about the Aron and the specific uniqueness that therefore the staves should never be removed? And both Rav Hirsch and the Netziv say the same idea, and they explain that the Torah, the Aron, which was housed, the Luchos inside of the Aron, was unique. What was unique about the Torah, they both say, is that the Torah will always be transported. It will never remain in one place. And the Torah travels with the Jew from place to place, from Golos to Golos, in the Lashon of the Netziv, Debola Hogilanu, Dekoach Ha'aron Shua Torah, the strength, the message, the meaning, the mission of the Aron is the Torah. Nisayim b'chol dor v'dor mimakom lemakom heichan shi'Yisrael golim. Wherever the Jew is exiled, the Aron, the Torah, the Luchos, always travels with the Jew and with the Jewish community, with Klal Yisrael, wherever we are, wherever we go. And this is really the meaning of the first mission, Meseches Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe here in Parshas Yisro, in Kabbalah Satorah, in the Yontav Shavuos, accepted Torah Misinai, but it didn't stay with Moshe. Umasra Yoshua, Yoshua Zikeinim, Lizikeinim Lenevim, Lenevim to Anshe Knesset Abdullah, the Torah's passed. In generation to generation, place to place, it's isolated. It never stays in one particular place. It's always moving with the Jewish people. And the Anshei Knesset HaGdola is the last of the items of the people mentioned in that mission. If you look in the Rambam in his introduction to Yad HaChazak, the Meiri in his introduction to Maseches Avos, they continue that chain and that link for Dorei Doros. And when you think about it, how could it be that Klal Yisrael would have been able to survive Churban Bayis Rishon? The destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. How is it feasible? How is it possible? The center of all of Jewish life, the Karbonos, Hashras HaShechina, the Mishkan, the Mikdash, the Mizbeach, and all the claims there. How are we going to continue? But we went to Bavel, and there we established Sura and Pumpadisa. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola, during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, established and reorganized and concretized Torah again, that it should never be forgotten. And we see how the Torah was transported from place to place, from Golos to Golos. And that continued in the times of the Rishonim. When you think in each of the great codes of Jewish law, the Rosh and the Tur, the Rambam and the Rif, both articulate in their introductions that the reason for codifying Jewish law was because the Torah might be forgotten. It's true, it's passed from generation to generation. But there's concern. Will people forget it? We're being chased or being run after. People are attacking us. We need to make sure that there's a body of Jewish law. And thus, the Torah was organized and articulated and codified by these great sages. And as the Gemara says, Eis lasos lashem hefiru sarasecha, we never intended for the Torah to be written down. But Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi understood in the Zman, at the end of the Tanoim, that it had to be written down. Ravina and Ravashi understood at the end of the times of the Amoraim that we had to pen and organize and collate the entire gamut of the rabbinic experience, and all of Torah Shabbal Peh ultimately was dictated and was compiled, because the Torah has to move with us from generation to generation to generation. Wherever Klal Yisrael is, wherever Klal Yisrael goes, the Torah goes with us, and thus the staves inside of the Aron are sending a message to the Jewish people that they will be with us forever. In the times of the Rishonim and the Achronim, you could read tshuvas that were written literally on the run as rabbis, rabbanim, and communities were being run after the Inquisition in 1492. And the Rishonim and the Balei Tosfos during the Crusades wrote their perush under duress and stress. There's a Kabbalah from the Munkat Sherav, from his Zaydi, the Bnei Yisaschar, that the Balei Tosfos wrote the famous long Tosfos in the seventh chapter of Bava Kamma, Perek Meruba, Bidam, with their blood as they were being taken over. And that is what it means, that the Torah continues to travel with us. The Shagas Aryeh, the great Rabbi Aryeh Leib Heller, the Chabina Rav, both of them write that they didn't have pen or paper, they were so poor. The Chabina Rav, Rabbi Erich Weinfeld in Siberia, they didn't have what to write on. They read on cement blocks, and then ultimately on the paper that cement was written on. They had nothing. But the Torah traveled from generation to generation to generation. And the same thing is true, of course, in the First World War, the Second World War. The Torah continued, and we championed, and we continued to move with the Torah wherever we went. I recently read an unbelievable story that during the First World War, there was the city of Tavrig, which was close to the front lines in the First World War, the Russians and the Germans, and late at night, the Rav of the city of Tavrig was sitting and learning by the little lamp of kerosene in the basement of his home. And the city of Tavrig, as I mentioned, was on the front lines, and as the Russians saw a light flickering, they had an absolute certainty to assume that it must be the Germans spying and trying to get information. They quickly barged into the door of the Rav of the city, Rav Aaron of Tavrig, and they saw him poring over a Rambam, and they were certain, most certain, that it had to be that it was simply a confusion and that he was hiding some very delicate information. They quickly took him and they told him they were going to take him to the city center and the center of the square center, and were going to take him and murder him lifnei am ve'eda. And listen to what Rav Aaron Tavrig told him. He said, please, I beg you, don't do this. And when they said, absolutely not, he said, but grant me at least one final wish. They said, okay, what is your wish? And he said, look, I've been poring over a Rambam all day, trying to decipher and understand the words of the Rambam. Please grant me some time where I could just reconcile, understand, and figure out the words and the meaning of a pshat in a Rambam. And they looked at him totally baffled at the request. They granted his request, and the end of the story is less important than the request of Rav Aaron Tavrig, that some 20 minutes later, the time that they gave him, the Russians heard an explosion, was the Germans coming, and they quickly ran out of the house. Rav Aaron Tavrig was saved. We know this story from the Panovich Rav, who was the Rav in the city of Panovich, and he always recounted the story talking about Klal Yisrael and their connection to the Torah. Kutshabrichu v'yaraisa charu, God and the Jewish people and the Torah are one. And we carry the banner, the torch of the Torah from place to place, from city to city, from Golos to Golos, from Bavel to Parasumadai, to Yavon, to Edom. Wherever we go, the Torah is carried with us. And in the Second World War, whether it was in ghettos or concentration camps or in DP camps, we know how much Torah was learned and taught. Stories that we read about in the Warsaw Ghetto, the great Eish Kodesh, Reb Kolonimus Kalman Shapiro would lecture regularly. So much so that he recorded his talks. He didn't think he would survive. And of course, he was brutally murdered in the Warsaw Ghetto. But he took his writings and his talks that he gave at Shalashudas, hid them in the ground in a canister, buried them deep in the ground in the ghetto. And several years after the war, miraculously, these canisters and these barrels were found with his writings. And today we have and we own the sefer called the Eish Kodesh, the Holy Flame, the books that were saved from the inferno, and he writes about everything that was taking place then. The Torah was carried into the ghettos. The Sefer Sri De'esh, the Tshuvos of the great Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, called, entitled Sri De'esh, the embers of the ashes, those things that were left behind because so much of his writing was lost during the war, but just a little bit was saved. Sri De'esh, the remnants of those ashes, of the flames, of the fires. The Torah was taken with us. I've told you the well-known story. In the DP camp, Rabbi Aaron Paperman, the well-known American soldier, the chaplain who was one of the first on the scene in the DP camps, when he came across a Jew, and Jews would ask, what do you need, what do you need? And when one Jew said, all I need is a Gemara above a Kama, he said, really, are you sure? And the Jew said to him, yes, all I need is above a Kama. The Torah again is traveling from generation to generation, place to place. And we reach the shores of this country after the war, and the development of Torah and the Torah community again blossomed. And slowly but surely it reached outside of the large cities to far-flung places, community kollelim blossom and developing and reinvigorating cities throughout the cross of the country, the land of America, where there's so much Torah being studied, how proud we should be to watch as the prophetic words of the Netziv and the Rav Shimon Shofar Hirsch historically came true. From the First World War to the Second World War, from the Inquisition to the Crusades, from Churban Bayis Rishon to Churban Bayis Sheni, to Golus Parasimadai and to Yavan. Wherever we are, wherever we go, the Torah comes with us and we hold onto it tight, securely. And we pass that torch of Torah from generation to generation. And this Shavuos Tavshin Pei, our holy obligation is to take the staves of the Aron, the Badim, and bring with us the Aron Kodesh to our homes, to our houses, and to continue to hold tight, and to use all the kochos, the energy, the strength, emotionally and physically that we have to be able to continue to learn the Torah, even in difficult times, even though we can't be together for Tikkun Leil Shavuos, we can't be sitting together preparing for Kriyas HaTorah, for Kabbalas HaTorah, to read the Aseres HaDibros together, to daven at Netzach Hama, to greet the Shechina, and to join together in tfilos, and to say akdamos, and the piyutim, and tfilos of Yom Tov together as a tzibur, and to learn and hear shiurim together. But our challenge this year is just like Jews throughout the generations continue to hold on to the staves, the badim of the Aron, and to pass and to take the Torah, the Luchos, the Aron, the Torah Shebichsav, the Torah Shebalpeh, Moshe Kibol Torah Misenim, Misara Yoshua, Yoshua to Zkenim, Zkenim to Nevi'im, to the Anche Knesset Agdol, and generation to generation, to through Rabbi Huda Nasi, and through Ravina and Rav Ashi, through the times of the Tanoim, the Amoraim, the Rishonim, the Acharonim, up until us, the Mekeble HaTorah, 3,000 years ago, we will take the Badim, we will hold the Aron Kodesh, bring it into our home, infuse our family with the excitement, the passion of Talmud Torah. We have Shiurim, we have Drashos, we have Sfarim, we have so much things that we're missing. In earlier generations, we gave out packages, Pirkei Avos initiative, the Tashlumim Shir that people can learn about Kriyas HaTorah. What are we going to do when we get back to Shul? How many Parshios will we read? Will we read them? Will we not read them? There's so much to learn. And there's so much opportunity to enjoy the Yontif. Ein Simcha, Ela Simcha HaTorah, Pekudei Hashem, Yesharim, Misamchei Lev. We should be joyous. We should be happy. We should be so thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us the Yom Tov as a matana, as a present, to reinvigorate ourselves, to inspire ourselves, to learn and to be together with our mishpachos, our families, and to be mekabel the Torah in a different way. But if we can be mekabel the Torah, biyichidus, alone, separated, then Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, we are never alone. And together we will come out of this stronger, more unified. And the Kabbalah Satorah, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Kineged Harki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, one heart, one people, one nation. Yes, we're separated, we're never alone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Talmud Torah unifies us, it connects us. And yes, the Shavuos will be a bit more challenging. But know well that we are together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Communities are with us. And if we study the Torah, we're reliving the experience of Matan Torah again together, ourselves, our families, our community, our nation. I wish each and every single one of you a good Yontif, and I can't wait to reunite, to be together, but I hope each and every single one of us on our own will be able to learn, to reconnect, and to learn, and to understand, and to glean more of the great Torah that we're so blessed to have, to own. As the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, if it wasn't for the Torah, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka, we would just be regular. We wouldn't be much to us. But now that we have the Torah infused, it changes us. It makes us the people who we are. And when we learn and we study, we become elevated. And may it be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have the insight, the ability to understand His Torah, to appreciate His Torah, to recognize its greatness, and together, to come together, Bayami Mahim Bazman Azeh, to again see the Gilui HaShchina, B'mheira V'yameinu, wishing everybody a beautiful Yom Tov, Simchas Yom Tov, joyous Yom Tov, and only good things to come, B'siyata D'shmaya, Be'ezras Hashem Yizbarach.